Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here are your hosts, the one and only Dr. Peyray and the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome to the podcast with Sully, Shay, Tony, and last but not least, introduce yourself there.
Me or Hideki? Because I'm sitting beside the Masters champion of 2021, Hideki Matsuyama.
That guy tried to choke. He tried to lose it.
It was close, man. He did it, though, dude.
He did. It was impressive.
See those pictures of him walking through the airport with his green jacket, yeah, just like jumping on a plane.
So we're in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're talking about digital stuff. So this topic, I think, is important to all of us, is chairside CAD, CAM, and milling, and what are the opportunities for it. But just going back to Nashville and Hideki, because we all love golf, right? So we're out with Sung Kim last night, and someone looks at him. He's wearing his golf swag. He's wearing like a Ping hat.
I think that was it. Oh, no, a tiger shirt.
It was wearing a green shirt. That had it was a tiger, a Nike green shirt, and a Ping hat. And someone yells across, Hideki. And then everyone looks, and maybe half the people think it's Hideki. And then so the rest of the night, we're like with Hideki's crew, you know? So we're the cool people in the bar now. And everyone's like, you know, I was like, wow, this is cool. So it was kind of a side fun little gig that he's Hideki. We're partying with the Masters champ.
Hysterical.
Masters champ.
You don't look anything like Hideki Matsuyama.
Hideki, I don't even know if I'm saying his name
right.
I'm
sorry. Thing that looks Hideki. Really like
that is true.
Is he's pretty
sneaky good?
Good
Asian.
Are you pretty good?
He's sneaky good, man.
Yeah?
Like, he can pump the ball, man. It doesn't look like this kid can rock really? It, but yeah.
He's
man.
Got some length, though.
He's got, he's got a lot of lag in his swing, and yeah, he can put it out there,
I can
man.
I see that. Shay, do you have a name for your podcast yet?
I think not really, but maybe I'll just call it Launch.
I like that.
Take it next level. Let's just whatever the topic, right? So Launch Digital Dentistry is a company for education space and just my creative outlet. But yeah, Launch. So let's just take it. So let's talk about mills. All right. So Sully, for you, tell me what happened. Tell me your milling journey. How did it begin?
Well, I was born into it on some level, literally. You know, so when I graduated and joined Dad, my partner, He was already a Syracuser, so he had gotten into red cam milling back in 07, pretty early on, before there was a Syrac Doctors, before there was a lot of the stuff. And so he went through red cam, blue cam, and ultimately Omnicam, and now Prime Scan. And so that was, and he had actually kind of gotten to where he wasn't doing a ton of it. He had gotten busy, and you know, and so busy sometimes is the enemy, I guess, of progression. And so when I got, I was like, we got this technology. We need to be freaking using it. So we did. We really amped up a lot of doing more anterior stuff, posterior stuff. So Syrac is my baby, right? I mean, that's what I think was the cornerstone to our digital growth. You know, ultimately that got us into cone beam, which, you know, became obviously moving out of that. But yeah, from a milling standpoint, we now have three mills. We have a wet old school MCXL, a wet dry MCXL, and a prime mill. And the prime mill is legit. The prime mill had a lot of issues early on, but now, I mean, we're milling zirconia in 4.5-5 minutes. So that's a very
tell me about that process thing. Of 4.5-5 minutes with the speed fire. Tell me how is that a reality for same day for you guys?
Yeah, so we do all our katana, all our zirconia same day now. So workflow, we're prepping the tooth. The one of the things that is helps speed up the process is now we can touch test the block prior to telling the block the restoration. So the assistant's already put in the A2 block. It's already gone through its touch test process, which takes a minute or two, so that when we're ready and we press mill, it's go time. And then it's running two motors. Or it's running four motors, basically with two burrs at the same burr. So it's attacking it from both sides at the same time. So it's 4.5-5 minutes, hands down for a molar. It's fast. And then it's a 17-minute fire in the speed fire.
Do you have any puck mills?
No puck mills. That's obviously the next big
cost efficiency.
Yeah, well, and you talk about like ecosystems. Like I literally this week I've been looking. I at him and a couple weeks ago I actually looked. Armon Gerbach had one of theirs there, and yeah, that's the big thing for us. The big snag move for us is in our current new building. We're building a lab for some space like this, and yes, I want a puck mill. So, but there's a lot of puck mills.
Yeah, we're on the kind of seamless journey. Okay, Tony Menudo, Smile Professor, tell me your milling journey.
Started with the old E4D Plan Mecca. Wasn't Plan Mecca at the time, but CAD-CAM system became Plan Mecca a few years later. But that was like 2009, 2010. Just really bared down and said, I'm going to learn this, damn it. And struggled with it mightily at first, but eventually Wally, Renee, and I kind of figured it out and got it going pretty good. And thankfully, the technology evolved a lot since then. Man, that stuff was really tough to use. But now I'm in a practice where we're actually using a mixed workflow. We have a iTero scanner for for doing Invisalign. I work for a dentist named Amanda C, and she insisted that we have an iTero and that we do Invisalign, which I think is great. I was all on board with that, but hadn't really tested that iTero workflow. Luckily, I have some experience with Plan Mecca mills and know that the Plan Mecca mills are open system mills, so you can basically scan with the iTero, export that STL into the design software, and do your chair side.
I did not know that.
Yep. And it is not as efficient as using all Plan Mecca or all CEREC, that linear workflow, but you can do it and it actually works pretty nicely. So I'm currently using that. It takes me probably about 5 minutes longer than it would if I'd scan with an Emerald within the
Tony, why is that? What step or is it skipping or what's the 5 minute? Just the exporting and importing?
Yes, the getting this. So when you use an iTero and you select chairside milling, it automatically uploads the STLs into my iTero, which is basically the cloud, right? And you can download those. There is a little bit of a delay there sometimes, and then it's just moving the files from the cloud to your
But once it's imported in, it operates and looks like just like that.
Yep,
that's a pretty slick thing.
Yep, it's pretty nice. Been using it for almost a year now, and it's working.
Okay, at the schools, what's your favorite mill? I'm gonna put you in a hot seat.
Honestly, I love the 30S. I love Plameca's 30S. It's a fast mill for being a single spindle mill. I can mill premolars in about 8 minutes on that thing. Emax molars in about 10. Anteriors take a little longer, maybe like 12, 13 minutes. But it's reliable. It works really well. It's come a long way because the 40S mill was a disaster for Plameca. That thing had a bunch of problems. We do have a prime mill as well, and that thing is really nice. We're using it strictly for zirconia at this point. And I'm just trying to kind of figure out that workflow as well. I personally, with that zirconia workflow, have not been able to get Katana to look as good as I've seen it on social media. We talked about how things on social media sometimes aren't reality, but I haven't quite figured out the processing part to get it. So
well, Tony, you probably care a lot more than I do because if Fitming that Delta Dental number 15, as long as it's slightly in a shade of color, I'm good with it, bro.
Understood. I mean,
Tony, for your students, are you hogging the 30S? What do they get to use?
No, they use we have some MCXLs as well. So they depending on we get, basically give them the choice of a CEREC or a Plan Mecca workflow. And if they're going with the Plan Mecca, they're either using the 30S or we still have old Plan Mill 40s from our original setup that still work really well. And so they can use those if we're doing multi-unit cases because we do some multi-unit anterior cases. So just
Tony, is there a workflow outside of those two that's even realistic for same day restorations?
Yeah. So using the iTero. Not the iTero, sorry. Using the three-shape Trios, we have a lot of Trios scanners. Scanning with that and moving it through Design Studio, three shapes, chair side, and then milling on the Programmill 1. We are still working. Programmill 1 is a really nice mill, but
who makes the
Programmill? It's Ivoclar's mill.
Yeah.
It's out there, man. It's out there. Oh, yeah.
You can buy it now.
You can buy it.
Then it launched.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was the case.
Yeah, so that workflow takes a little longer. The Programmill 1 is it's got a lot of bells and whistles, and sometimes those bells and whistles take a little bit more time to do their thing. It's very automated, almost too automated for some things. But
so realistically, if you're going to use that workflow, a Trios and a Programmer One type linear, what's your single visit crown if you were doing it?
It's a 2-hour appointment for Emacs. Yeah, it's a 2-hour appointment.
And if you're doing it with your Playmaker workflow, what's that?
It's an hour and 40 probably for me. Yeah.
That's important enough. And then, you know, for the user listeners, just like a history background, Tony and I actually, the first time we actually interacted for, in person was in Buffalo at Ivoclar, and we got the peek behind the curtain before the Program 01 release. Yeah. We were so geeked. What year was that?
Man, I don't even remember.
Three.
Well, it was like 10 years ago when it was first released. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was a good 5 years.
All right. I'll move on. Donnie Murray, owner of Murray and Kuhn. And founder, CEO of Are You Numb Yet? Education events for all things digital. Tell me, what's your milling journey?
So we actually started. We had a comb beam, 2012. That was my first big digital advancement. And then we got a mill, 2015. The old Planmeca 40 mill with the Nevo scanner. And then the next year we were actually at Camden Yards. It was one of the cooler dental events I've ever been to. They rented out a couple suites at the game. Alex Touchstone was speaking. And at the time we had two offices and we were going to purchase two full systems, which it's pretty amazing that you can get full systems nowadays for cheaper than what we bought in 2015. Yeah.
The barrier of entry now is definitely attainable.
Yeah. So we were.
I bought comb beam. My comb beam was like $125,000.
I know, isn't that crazy? Now they're it's ridiculous. Half that on something.
So,
but it's worth the investment, right?
Every daggum penny.
We have a podcast just on CBCT next. So stay tuned, right?
So we left that meeting with the idea, actually, with the purchase order from Henry Schein to do two mills. They actually had it printed up with our name on it ahead of the event. Imagine that. but we. Ironically, we left. My dad was with me, and we on the way home had some conversation and a lead on another practice. So we spent the same on a new practice that we would have on two mills for the existing two practices. So we bought a third practice. We did trial. We felt like the economics of branching into three full systems at three offices was too steep. So we did trial for a while having intraoral scanners, and the teams would scan, design, and then send to a centralized mill at one of the offices. And then that team would finish them, bring them back to the other offices. It just became too inefficient of a process. There were too many hands in the cookie jar. Part of the beauty of same day dentistry is that you control all aspects of it. So we returned that, and then we ended up getting three full systems. Now each office has two mills, comb beam, a couple scanners. We have iTeros at all the offices. So I'm in the next foray is potentially puck milling. Zirconia sort of aged out of our practice from single unit standpoint a couple years ago, because Emacs just solved all of our concerns. But we do a lot of full arch stuff with Zirconia now. So that's something we're looking at. Playmeca has a new puck mill that has come out. So, but it is a deep, there's a lot of players in the game as far as puck mills go. So we'll see.
All right. Thanks, man. That was awesome. Is Darren on here? Is he still like, and he's gone. All right. So sorry, Darren. RIP Darren. Everybody just, moment of silence. All right. Well, my journey for me actually started way before maybe many. Well, Sully, you saw from your father, right? Mm-hmm. Was he milling?
Yes.
Okay. So my journey, I had to think about this when I asked the question. I was like, wait a second, when? My milling journey started when I was 16 years old, 1997. So the dentist I was shadowing when I was in high school was Gordon Danley. He was yours in Sarek 2D.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was shadowing him, and then I was intrigued, like in the lab, there was this palette of all these colors, like it was like a arts and crafts paint kit. And so, you know, he was scanning and then designing on the Sarek, and I was just mesmerized. And that was my first experience in dentistry.
And that's exactly why I'm here today. Like, I was hooked
deep
from the minute I saw that process. And I was like, holy cow, that was Cerec 2D. And obviously, it's come all the way a long journey. But
dude, we got to give props to those guys and gals.
Yeah. The OGs,
brave,
for real.
Because souls.
Up until really like 2010, I don't know, all these systems were crap.
Sketchy.
Yeah. I mean, to push through and continue to pulled it off in that time.
Yeah, it was cool. Props so to my them. My dental school admission letter theme was the focus on technology and dentistry. And it just intrigued me, and I was just helped the progressive, and that was the theme of my admission letter. So yeah, the roots are pretty deep for me. So I started in dental school, Tony, when I was there. It was a small elective course, and it was really cool, but extremely basic. And
they had a red cam, I think.
I guess, yeah. And Wally Renee, which is a CAD CAM king now, he was my classmate. And so he and I like took the stone models of the examples of like a onlay prep and the stuff they couldn't teach you in dental school because we were, it was just gold and amalgam when I was there. And so we would take these, we took those models from that little tiny course, and he and I replicated as many as we could. And it took us hours to pour stone and model, and you just think about that. And so we just wanted to practice what a conservative ceramic prep was, and we didn't know what we were doing, but we had the idea there, right? Our process or our idea was good. In residency, I didn't have any access to it, but then I walked into a practice, had a Cerec that was had dust on it, and they didn't survive. And I looked at the assistant, said, "You want to use it?" And I was like, "I'm not ready yet." I was just getting my feet wet, right? I was just trying to survive going into private practice. But I had this toy that was there. And they were asking me, they, my partners, are you going to use it? Are you going to use it? Because they knew they'd either need to sell it and make money and move, or here's this young dentist coming in. He's have some exposure. Let me see if they can make that work and make our investment. Anyhow, we sold it. And I was talking to Wally, which at that time had become the restorative teacher at the college. And they had just bought a lot of the E4D scanners and mills. I said, "Is that the way to go?" And he didn't answer me. You know, he's like, "No, they had Cerec stuff too." And I just want to know which one to get. And the answer is just, you know, personally for your practice and what fits. But it spoke volumes that they had bought that system and how many they had bought at that time. I think it was 8 or 10 of the E4Ds. And I was like, "All right, well, that's probably going to be the future. They already kind of know." So I just went that direction. So we started with E4D, and I had this blue mill that was a tank. It lasted forever. And then we got the 40, and then we got 30S, which is our current just workhorse. And then now we're exploring puck mill 50S. And then outside of my ecosystem, puck mills, Armand Gerbach, Ivoclar, things that you had mentioned, Sully. Yeah, and then there's this whole other rabbit hole of milling and efficiency and why. Okay, so you mentioned something really cool last podcast. What's the why? Why are you going to buy this? Why are you going to buy the technology? What's it going to do for you, your practice, your patients, your growth, your economy of your practice, right? And so, you know, milling is a good chair side experience for me and my patients. You know, we can say same. I didn't do same day, and I had a mill for a while. I did 2-point visits. I just wasn't there yet. And then I passed the learning barrier, and then I couldn't understand how do you schedule efficiently for someone. I was worried about someone waiting.
Well, I did say props to while you I was on milling. That, because I think a lot of people think it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a bad mentality. Like, a lot of times, like, I had to get my dad around that. My dad would be like, if we had to put them in a temp, that he would then, like, like, "Oh, I got to send it to the lab." I'm like, no. Like, you could still mill it here. Like, that's, it doesn't mean you have to do it because you have a mill. I mean, you don't have to be same day workflow. I think that's where a lot of people struggle, and these things end up sitting on the freaking, you know, aren't getting used, is they try to fully commit to it, right? Like, I tell people, like, when you're first getting started, you should plan on not changing your workflow at all. Just act like the lab and bring them back in a week or so whenever the crown's done.
That's exactly what we did. So we did 2 visits, and I actually, I had the lab make a crown, and I made a crown, and I tried to get to a point where I was making equal quality, and it took me a little while, not too long, because the systems are pretty good. And then I actually understood I could do better quality than most labs. And then the light bulb switched when I saw Tony and Donnie doing same days all the time. I felt like behind a little bit.
And so I switched it and I tried it, and then my assistants love it. My patients love it. And I was like, wow, why did it take so long? But, you know, it's not for everyone. I enjoy the process. You know, I have a hard time delegating it, but I've learned to delegate it. And now we're at a point in our growth where my chairside intraoral scanner ninja is now our full-time designer and milling manufacturer in our office. So we're here's a little bit about my office. So we have a group practice. There's 15 plus offices, mostly GPs, some specialists. And in my office, it's the biggest, the flagship. There's six doctors. All right. So when we're, and we're fighting over 1 mil or 2 mils, and we all have a different workflow. Like I like to design mill everything, but I can't do that and check hygiene and run the second column. So I delegated a lot to Tanya. Then she became, hey, then my other doctors say, hey, that's pretty cool. Let me try some. And then they're doing it, but not all of them are doing it the same. Some are doing 2 points, 2 visits still. Some are taking analog impressions, letting her ditch the die scan and then create in the lab.
That's a whole other podcast. That's interesting that y'all do like such variable stuff.
Some she goes in and scans for that doctor. Deal. Some she's got their assistants, their chairside's ability to scan. So she just takes a scan and does the mark the margin, design, mill. And they don't even touch any of that process. But I have quality control checks. I just check my, I have my process. So we all have different processes, but we're getting the same goal, and we're doing CAD/CAM in our office so many different ways. And that's, like you said, that's an awesome point. There's so many ways you could do it. And so our little microcosm of our office, we're doing it every different way, and it works. But yeah, it's really cool. So our next journey is the puck mills, and we're, you know, exploring that.
Have y'all thought about moving towards, like, because Donnie, I was touched on this with their, because they've got a couple offices, right? With the centralized milling location. Or is that kind of what your thought is with puck yes. milling, is to have like a centralized puck miller?
Yeah, so more than one puck mill, because we know if one production goes down, the whole production go down. So outside of my office, for our group, we're going to make a mini lab and just going to pilot this. Have our doctors send in. We're already doing that with our 30Ss, with our Emacs. But I was like, a lot of our doctors want to use zirconia, and then there's a lot of zirconia improvements that have happened, right? So we're, you know, more receptive of that, but we just can't mill it. We're outsourcing it. We can mill it. I'm sorry. On the 30S, we can mill blocks, but it just wasn't, when the earlier blocks came out, it just didn't wet my whistle. But now they're actually really good. But puck milling seemed more efficient. That if I'm going to continue with zirconia, the puck mill just makes so much sense. And then the options are limitless, right? But yeah, puck milling is the next thing. So we want to do a little small portion of our lab, launch it, and then maybe grow it to all our doctors and maybe scale it to outside of our, and that, you know, I have like this whole digital lab to run. Maybe, you know, there's an idea there, but I want to start small, you know, crawl, walk, run. But yeah, we're currently building an internal lab for our group.
I'm super pumped to like start this whole journey with the puck milling and whatnot. I do think it's definitely a bigger learning curve than what we've all done with our current single unit solutions and stuff like that. Just because, I mean, I've seen Payman do it. Or struggle with it over the past, you know, 2.5 years with trying to bring in so much of this in house, and that, you know, it does struggle with software and designer, you know, because that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, okay, like, where do I go get my designer?
Yeah, design in house or outsource design. What's more cost effective? What's more time effective? And ultimately, what's cost effective is a ripple effect of that.
Because I, you know, and this is where I'm curious, and I can, it'd be a good question to ask Sun, is like, one of the challenges to third-party design, in my opinion, is that especially with this living in a printing world and a milling world, is that the money is in the design, right? Like, I mean, so for them to manufacture parts and pieces, that's really not that, that's the cheaper part of it. Like for us, the block's the cheap part. The design is the hard part. So now we're asking a lab per se to, like, let's say you want to mill out a hybrid, or let's just say you want to mill out a set of anterior. You're doing a full mouth rehab, and you want to do a whole upper arch of zirconia crowns, right?
And manufacture in-house.
And you want to manufacture in-house, yeah. Because, like, hey, we want to. That's part of our goal and dream, whatever. And we want to say, you know, it's costing savings, and everything. What the challenge is there is, Darren, are you calling in? We got a phone friend. Darren wants in.
Mm-hmm. Darren wants in. I'm going to comment on that while you're patching him in.
Are you patched in, Darren? Are you there?
Darren, are you here?
Let's welcome Darren Clark. He's
I love how we got a phone a friend there. He just wanted to.
Darren Clark practices in Nashville. Our connection is we're all here together hanging out, talking about digital stuff. And Darren has a beautiful office in downtown Nashville. We wanted to get together trying to find a place, and Nashville's a good destination.
I really thought you were going to say beautiful office, and then you were going to chime in on Lisa right here. But you did.
Beautiful office manager. Office.
That's what I thought. He was gonna
manager.
He's got a beautiful office manager sitting right next to me. It was Lisa. No, she didn't. He
his fiance and office manager sit beside me. Darren, welcome. Tell me your, we were talking about milling, our milling journey. And now we're kind of getting into the last leg of the journey, where we are currently, possibly doing puck milling and outsourcing designing and so on. But tell us your mill journey.
Through 2014, checked out Plan Mecca, checked out Derek, decided to go with Plan Mecca, and really have just like, I mean, I'm still cranking out porcelain units on the same mill every day. We did the full thing at once, scanner, the whole CAD/CAM system, and the learning curve, was challenging, but when you get there, and you love it. What we've done in our office has been really powerful. And I think I heard somebody mention this earlier. Like, we've trained our assistants to this point to take over every aspect of the process after I finish prepping the tooth. So I prep the tooth and get up and get out of their way.
Yeah, we call that prep and walk. So my assistants, when I try to get on part of the process, because I'm just kind of, I love to touch everything and do it, but they just wave at me and that's my signal to get out of the way.
Yeah. And what we found in doing so is giving them ownership of that is like an incredibly, incredibly powerful thing. Because my assistants at this point are like, they're tapping their foot on the ground impatiently waiting for me to finish the prep so that they can, so they can get in there and do their thing. And they take that process all the way through characterization and firing, conditioning, and they give me a call when it's time to put the porcelain unit in. And if you're going to do CAD/CAM and reach a really good level of efficiency, that's one really good way to do it. It's a lot of effort. You're going to put a lot of time and money into your team training them how to do it. But I'll tell you that in our experience, it's been worth it every day.
I agree. Okay, so tell me, what's your chair side time for a single unit?
Single unit is super simple. It's going to be an hour and a half. I would probably tell you that like you're a normal crown, we actually book 2 hours, but largely we're booking quadrant dentistry at this point. So if you're asking me if I'm doing a single crown, I'm probably doing a single crown and a couple of fillings in that quadrant. So the time frame that's required to actually prep and fabricate that and seat that porcelain restoration is less impactful if you're doing other things at the same time.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly there. That's awesome. All right, so Sally, let's go back to puck milling and designing versus outsources. So I kind of had a little extra insight here. So the all digital lab I was using in California, they wanted to, we have a good connection with them beyond just my, so that we bought a practice and it was a retired dentist. And he was ready to retire, sorry, but he wasn't ready to turn the knob off. So he came in with Tanya, my assistant that moved to the space of designing in the lab, and he wanted some of the action. And he's had all this experience in dentistry and he couldn't turn it off and he wanted to work in the lab. So he taught us some old school stuff, some new school stuff. Heck, we did gold foil one day. But, you know, he was intrigued with the process of digital, and his son owns a digital lab in LA. That's kind of how we met, an all digital lab, because his son grew up as his lab, doing his lab work, pouring a stone, just from a kid, you know. And so they saw an opportunity. They were working in some labs and they said they saw the opportunity for all digital. So they're all digital modelless workflows. No models, all modelless, right? So that's a little barrier to jump for some people, but it really worked, and that, you know, that really worked well for us. But they understood, and I said, hey guys, I'm looking at some mills, puck milling. Tell me the skinny, give me some help. I'll pay you consultant fee. They said, why don't we franchise? I was like, all right, interesting. Tell me what that is. So they broke it down for us by on Excel. We're kind of metrics numbers people with my business management part of my office. And so I'm like the experienced patient. So mine is more patient experience efficiency. But I'm learning that's the, you know, the business part, you got to wear different hats.
But they kind of broke it down to like the customer service, you know, the doctors, if they're having a problem, the phone call, the stuff you don't want to do that you don't realize it's going to cost money for your labor, to your freaking stamp, you know, and sending and, you know, mail times and packaging. They had everything like cost. So they had it break down per unit and then how many units you would do to break even based on the equipment you would need to outfit the lab. But they would help us outfit it with the vacuums, the mills, all the stuff that you don't know and all that. And so you know what I left with the answer was, wow, it's a lot to learn and it may not be the margins that I'm thinking.
Oh yeah. Well, so, and that's a great point. I think we got it. This is one of my pet peeves, I think, with a lot of this stuff though, is the challenge is that the market has the market responds to what we are all buying. So, right, there's an entire industry right now in the lab industry that's being shaken up completely by all of what we're doing. And so what have they had to do? They've had to change the way they do things. They've had to cut their margin. So the margin on a crown today is way less than the margin was a long time ago. So because of that, you can get a zirconia crown realistically for like $60 from a lab. So like now all of a sudden, we no longer can do this math about, you know, whatever. Having said that, I think where we all in this room get it and agree that time is money. Like what I'm trying to buy time every freaking day. Like literally, I'm willing to pay for it. I need that much more of it. And so for me, it's convenience, it's flexibility, and it's control. I mean, control. And so like, yes, I want this to on some level work, right? But we got to start to get young dentists to get out of this idea that we want to get into milling because it's a savings thing. Because it's not, we want to get into milling because it's better for our patients because it's control, it's quicker turnaround time.
That's my buttons. And okay.
Those things you're talking about.
Yeah. And then what you're talking about. So did you have the same reality that the margin's not as big as I thought?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I guess on some level, I'm not even concerned about it.
Okay. I thought that was your thought process. You're like a numbers guy, right?
Totally a numbers guy, but I'm a numbers guy because it's a time thing. Because yeah. So like, okay. For instance, I need this patient to, I want to see my patients less.
But you're not you're not having the hat of, all right, this is someone outside of dentistry, you know, investing your business or doing your capital investment.
Right.
Show me the numbers, show me the margins, blah, blah, blah. Well, yes or no?
But see, yes and no, because Darren made a good point, right? So if we're talking about a PPO practice where you're doing single crowns all the time, then yes, the time it takes to do your same day crown matters. You're better off lining up 8 patients in a row and going prep, 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 and a patient right behind you. None of us teach that. We don't practice that way. We want to do more quadrant dentistry, full mouth dentistry, sedation dentistry, right? We're doing more on less. So then all of a sudden this time thing doesn't become a concern. So where I'm getting all this money back is my ability to get more done on that patient in that chair, because because I know that the true cost for us, the true business margin number is in me turning over this chair, bringing this patient back, doing all that stuff. So the real savings to me in same-day dentistry is the fact that I don't have something blocking my future ability to produce in a week or two, right? And so even though it may take me more time overall, it doesn't matter because it's that transactional thing. So the same thing that happens with the pucks is now all of a sudden, okay, how can we figure out how to do this? Where am I buying the margin, or where does that make sense from a business perspective? Because to your point, it's not in the material savings.
So we're in the Bible Belt, right? We're in Nashville, but like, I feel like I just want to give you an amen.
I love that.
Like I'm at church and then they just deliver the message and you stand up, you're like, woo! Hallelujah. That just moved me today, you know? So thank you. I like that. So rapid fire and we're going to end it. What's your best part of your milling journey, Sully?
Oh gosh.
Don't give me a Darren answer right now.
No, I'm definitely not. Darren, I'm gonna give you a legit answer. The best part of my milling journey, in-play restorations.
Bingo. Tony.
For me it's control and the fact that they fit every damn time. Every damn time.
That's true. Tony, when was the last time you like you had to go back and adjust contacts?
Like I don't even,
my assistant will sometimes hand me floss. Like, I'm going to check the contacts before I cement it. I'm like, This is fine.
So much micro movement you don't think of happens in a temporary. Then when you have that same, and your patient sees you don't have to grind it in, they know you're doing next level dentistry. It's crazy. That's the experience wow factor. Sure. All right, Donnie.
I think those were all good answers. I mean, it's all about patient outcome experience. I'm trying to think. You might have to come back to me on this. I'm on a Darren answer here.
Darren, tell me some love, baby.
Conservation of tooth structure.
Oh,
damn it.
That was such a Darren answer.
Amen, brother. No, amen. You just got another amen in here.
Yeah.
All right, coming back, Donnie.
You've asked for an opinion. So.
That's good, though.
I would say, honestly, I think it's the most critical piece that's allowed us to reset our culture and our practices. Like when the patients see you're sitting there designing a crown in front of them, it's a gateway drug for the patients to understand that you are doing next level dentistry.
So you just listened to why milling.
Well,
and
shit,
this whole conversation.
Can we steal 2 more minutes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want to piggyback off
you
this.
You want to get my answer?
Yes. I want your answer.
Patient experience.
Okay. That's good. I think it's good. Do y'all think, I want to follow up. I want to steal a question. Do y'all think then, like, what's the draw to not milling in office? Should people be looking at, are we doing, because obviously the industry has done something like, look, the industry has moved towards scanning. Why? Bingo. We all know that. The reason they've done this, easier point of entry, which means increased profits for, no offense, but all the manufacturers and all distributors. So we're seeing a huge push in intraoral scanning versus in-office milling because of the barrier entry, right? So now we're getting more and more people to do that. My question is, what's made all of us successful? And on some level, what did we all just talk about? What's the one factor that really everything comes back to? You said it, patient experience. And now we're taking a good thing and we're stopping at a good thing. Because to me, what intraoral scanning, does it really deliver the patient experience?
For my gaggers, yeah.
I think for your gaggers, it does. Well, but it doesn't. But it stops short, in my opinion,
not the
true full story. And so I'm sitting here watching kind of things happen. And I'm like, gosh, I feel like a lot of people are missing the boat. And I think, dude, personally, for my practice, I love it. Because of like, if still, it blows my mind, in 2021, it is unique that people get same-day dentistry in our office. And I'm like, really? That's unique still? But I think it's a push and a problem. So I'm curious y'all's thoughts on that.
I 100% agree. I think it's the fear factor of learning this new thing that's going to change the system of how you've always done dentistry. And I think, you know, dentists get comfortable. We like the way we do things. We think it works for us. And I think just being fearful of having to learn a new system, having to schedule differently, I think that it would be, in my opinion, the barrier that most people experience.
Tony, is the program mill going to be the only, well, I guess Play Mecca is too. You could take a 3-shape scan, a Medit scan, and you can get into Play Mecca and you can get into program mill.
Yeah. Not the program mill. The program mill, you have to use the Trios. The plan mill is
so. Plan mill is really becomes the only the most mainstream open mill then.
Right, right.
It's interesting.
It's pretty powerful, and it's. And
God,
it's,
if I was Femeca, I'd be pushing that so
it's
hard.
It's pretty well priced, also. So yeah, it's definitely a good option.
What was the question we asked?
What was the question?
Sorry, the question.
Oh,
was
thinking about milling.
The question was we just. So much of our focus is on the milling part. And so my question is if you're the whole market's moved towards scanning and all of us believe in milling. So that's the unique thing that I think separates us that to our success. And why are we not seeing more of that? And what do we need to do to, because to me, that's the true consumer aspect of this. That's the patients want is they want to leave your office with the restoration.
So what's the stats of dentists that have scanners that aren't milling? Is it greater?
I don't know.
It's obviously greater now. Scanning is
now.
Yeah. You know, scanning is becoming more mainstream. It's not like the 4% are scanning now, but it's got to be way higher. But CAD/CAM is the small percent, which we're trying to say with your question. It should be the flip.
Correct.
But you know, scanning is the gateway drug, and I think that's where the businesses realize they needed to, you know, keep up with the Joneses and competing in the space. They need to make good chairside oil scanners, and then they can go into their ecosystem And you know, with your Sarek, with your Planmeca or whatever, Sarek and Planmeca are the only ones chair side for a while. Now it's that's manufactured by the company.
Well, now we're still okay.
But I mean, Ivacar is a yeah. So they got the mill, but they don't have they didn't make their scanner, but they relabeled a three shape, right?
I have not laid my eyes on it yet, so I'm gonna. It looks hold like off a three shape. Answer.
You know,
it does in fact in the photo look like a three shape.
Yeah, and politically, you know, I'm not trying to like push any buttons there. I love. Everything
I'm assuming Medit will create their own.
And Medit will have a mill. They've got to have a mill. I'm thinking. I don't know if this is their business plan, but yeah. And then heck, you know, the 3D printing companies are probably going to start having their own scanners to have their own ecosystem.
And like we said before, I mean, milling is does milling. You know, is it going to transition to more printing once the materials get better? So I don't know how much longer we have.
That's why I just said.
Well, that's a good question.
I think printing companies are going to get into the internal scan game to connect the dot. You know, who knows? And then Darren, what's up? What's your answer?
I'm sorry. Did you say me?
So yes. So the question, Sully, was
barriers to entry for milling.
For milling, learning curve and implementation. Are the two things that I hear people tell me that they are most concerned about. They're often not using those words, but those are the big things that I hear when I'm talking to other dentists who aren't doing it.
Darren, if you were starting today, would you buy just the scanner or would you buy the whole system?
The whole system.
Donnie?
Whole system.
In a heartbeat.
Tony?
But I mean, it's like going into the Sarek group on Facebook and asking what the best scanner is right now. Cause we're amongst a group of people who absolutely love CAD/CAM. So of course I would buy the whole damn system.
I guess that's my point though, is on some level is, are we missing the boat in that the people leading the charge are the salespeople? Yeah.
But see, I think you're onto something that it's, you know, the bar in dentistry is low. Like the bar to be a successful dentist is fairly low. And the bar it takes to be successful in same day dentistry or other digital workflows that you're controlling A to Z is not low. It's actually it's a fairly steep learning curve. And the most frustrating part, so I think it's driven, like you said, by these companies that, you know, instead of the dentist getting all the profit of everything based on controlling everything in house and doing it all, they're selling scanners and smaller pieces. But the most frustrating part is that so many doctors like never get past scanning doesn't open up enough doors to increase patient outcome or experience that they never get into the other things. And then you just have all these scanners, these frustrated doctors that, you know, they'd stop using it. And then these same companies that only sold them a scanner versus a full system because it was a lower barrier to entry, an easier sale, actually lose the customer at being the dentist from being a future like. Whereas if you just get somebody over the hump and get them into doing something that they can then see the merits of, then you're going to sell them a comb beam and then a printer. And then, you know what I mean?
Yep. And then in closing here, it's kind of like we're all kind of scratch our necks. Like, where can I get some more blocks? You know, because we're all addicted. We've got it. And then a birdie told me, Sully, that you love implants. So our next podcast is going to be about implant workflows and outsourcing. We have Sun Kim in the house from True Abutment, and we're going to kind of blow your mind with some new workflows and some current workflows and future workflows. So let's take it out with some Wheezy.
I can't take it out. I can only take it out with Darren Clark.
Darren Clark,
we're hanging out with you. Hold on. We can take it out with Wheezy. We just have to get him. We have to get him off the...
Unphone our friend.
So stay tuned for the next launch 3D Dentist podcast combo with Are You Numb Yet? For a future fun talk.
Jay, I'm excited, dude. I think this is going to be a great podcast that you're rocking. I love it.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.